famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and welcome to our show. And tonight we are going to be reviewing a couple of things. I forgot who we have first up as a guest, but I do know we're going to be covering, for instance, Whitey Bulger.
I think it's Don Berman again.
No, it's not Don Berman. We had Don on last night. Doug Danger?
Yeah, Doug Danger, Whitey Bulger.
That's not a problem having Doug Danger doing, when you say Whitey Bulger.
Not Bulge. Oh, God.
General, because Doug Danger...
Well, he's a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yes, sir, but we're not even engaging in that kind of ridiculous speculation, okay?
Well, excuse me for breathing, you know.
No, General, no one is indicting you necessarily for saying something that you knew was improper. We're just simply saying...
Yeah, just because his name bulges.
His name doesn't bulge. The name is Bulger.
Yeah, we understand that. Doug Danger will be talking about that. Whitey Bulger has gotten life in prison. Now, for a guy that's, I think, pushing 80, if he ain't already in his 80s, he's 84, this cat getting life is, well, you know, he'll do that standing on his head, I guess. And
yeah, well, they get inside of prison, man, he's going to have all kinds of steak.
What are you talking about, steak?
Well, now, hold on. What do you mean, Robert?
Well, you know, like in Goodfellas.
Oh, that's right. In Goodfellas, they had the Italian gangsters had steak, and they carved up the garlic so very delicately.
Yeah, and then they had booze.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
In prison, in the movie Goodfellas, they made it look as if the gangsters, the mobbed up guys, the very connected and very heavy hitter guys from the Italian crime families, had this really great life.
Are you trying to tell me, a veteran of the United States Army and a veteran of foreign wars, that I went and fought on behalf of this country so some scum can sit and live it up in prison? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not trying to tell you that that's right. I'm not trying to tell you that it happens all the time, but I am saying that that was what was represented to the public, at least in that movie.
Well, that is an insult to any man, any woman, any child that fought for this country.
What do you mean, child?
I don't know, but if a child fought for this country and machine gunned...
I'm very curious.
You misspoke, right?
I'm trying to tell you something.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm telling you that any man, woman, or child that fought for this country... To know that the mafia is living it up in prison, I think, is an absolute disgrace.
What child? We're just asking.
I don't know. But if there is a child out there that is a veteran of one of our wars who might have been manning a machine gun by himself...
Think about what you're saying, General.
Yeah, what little child gonna do that?
Let me explain something to you. In World War II, the German boys, they were only 11 years old, and they were blowing tanks right off their track with those Panzerfaust. So don't you tell me.
You sound like you're going to cry, General.
I feel like it.
Well, I think you're making a good point, General. I mean, you're right. You're right. We send a lot of our boys overseas to fight and sometimes die in wars to protect a country that at times is a pretty baffling and puzzling place. Why we would allow individuals that commit these crimes that benefit from the stealing from the public? I mean, I don't know. You know, it's not right. You're absolutely right. It's not right.
And yet, I got John Gotti's autograph, and it's one of my most cherished possessions. So, in a way, I don't know what I'm talking about. Because I do... John Gotti was a hell of a guy.
Okay, thank you very much, General.
Well, in other words, you don't know what you're talking about either.
No, I do know. I know this much. If there's a child...
No, there's no child that has machine gun. There's no child. All right.
What about that the Christmas song, What Child Is This? Doo-doo-doo, you know the song?
General, I do the singing on the program.
No, I understand that, but do you know the song, What Child Is This? Do, do, do.
No, it's not.
General, yeah, that's about Jesus, and that's a Christmas song, and I got to get going, okay? So hold on, hold everything, sit there, get him...
You want your vanilla wafers, General?
Oh, you know what? That's very good of you, Bud. I'd like my vanilla wafers and the Bartles and James.
Bartles and James?
That's right. You know, Phil, some of us still drink wine coolers. Some of us don't have the disposable income that a guy like you has.
All right, all right, so anyway, welcome to the show, folks. Our number is 855-500-7445. On Saturday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern, we'll have our Saturday bonus show on Phil TV, and that is going to feature myself, a big bottle of Don Julio, maybe a few cans of that Utica Club that we've got left over, and we will again be reviewing epic moments in history with audiovisual aids, if you know what I mean. Also, we are going to open the phone lines up, so we'll be taking phone calls from our BSPs, people online watching, subscribers who may have questions of their own. We do encourage you, of course, to sit wherever you are sitting to watch the show and imbibe yourself. Don't drive.
Yeah, you want to make very sure that if you're going to watch Phil's Saturday bonus show and you want to join him in his tequila adventure, whatever that is,
Well, it's called drinking tequila.
Yeah, okay, Phil, that's great, called drinking. You know as much as I do, and I told you said this yesterday, that a lot of these people turn into animals. They turn into wild, running, swamp running, tree hugging.
Yeah, they do. They turn into swamp runners.
They turn into swamp runners. You know, I'm so sorry that the movie Glory ever came out, because Morgan Freeman had that line in the movie, and that has taken off on this show. Like you wouldn't believe.
No, I don't know. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Every time I turn around with these guys, somebody's a swamp runner, okay?
Well, a swamp runner, they were held in high regard when I was in the service. These were generally guys that you'd give them a message, and you'd say, you've got to get this to the command post. And they'd say, so you're turning me into a swamp runner, is that it? Why don't I just pull my pants down and you can get it done right now in front of everyone? I'll say, listen, I know that's what it seems like, but we need to get the message through.
So the swamp runner was like a messenger?
He was a messenger that you didn't have very much regard for.
He was a messenger that you didn't have much regard for, meaning what?
You expected him to get the message through, but you didn't expect him to make it back.
Well, that's a hell of a thing to send a guy out on, man. You know he's going to die.
Look, let me tell you something about war, Mr. Henry. At any given moment, at any given place in a battle, anyone can meet their end. So you remember that. Tonight, when you're going to bed, you go ahead and you suck on that. As long as you're having a lolly. If you have a lollipop tonight, I'd say put it aside and suck on that.
That's fine, General. I wonder how much longer you're going to have him.
I can't hear you.
It's fine, General. Just, what?
How much longer are you going to have him on the show?
Yeah, I think it's...
We'll... All right, so we'll come back here with Doug Danger. We'll be talking about Whitey Bulger, as in B-U-L-G-E-R, as in his last name, not something having to do with something bulging, okay, bud?
Yeah, I just... I'm trying to keep everything honest.
Oh, you're trying to keep us honest. Well, that's great, man. Thanks for keeping me honest. Anyway, our number, 855-500-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And as fate would have it, Father James McQuarters has interceded. Doug Danger not available tonight.
Doug Danger has passed this off to Father McQuarters, because I said, when I talked to the father, and he said that Doug was a bit put out by some of the comments made by...
Nice going, bud.
What? I didn't do anything.
Well, yes, you did. You talked about the bulging, you know.
All right, let me get Father James McQuarters on the line. Yes, Father McQuarters is a native of the Emerald Isle. Although he's been here in the United States for some 40-plus years. Father, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, Phil, and I'm very happy to step into the breach, if you will, for Doug Danger this evening.
All right, now, Whitey Bulger was the head of an Irish underworld or an Irish gang. I don't know. I read one book about the Irish gangsters in America, contemporary Irish gangsters. It was called The Westies. And
That's a New York phenomenon, the Westies.
Yeah, they're from New York. I didn't know anything. about the Irish gangs of Boston, although I suppose I should have suspected as much.
You know, the interesting thing about the Irish underworld is that for the longest time, most of the Irish underworld was hidden behind public's obsession with the Italian mafia.
Right.
But with this Whitey Bulger character, now you see all of what the Irish have done. And it makes me sick to my stomach, because as an Irishman, and a proud American, I might add, but also as an Irishman, and I know the history of our people in this country, makes me sick to my stomach to think that there are still people who call themselves Irish, might even call themselves the Green or the Green and the Orange.
Well, the Green and the Orange is the Catholic Protestant.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I mean nothing but the very best to our Protestant brothers and sisters. There's none of that. This is America, where you don't have that kind of intersectional kinds of fighting. But then along comes a man like Whitey Bulger, who lays a lie to all of the things Irish have tried to do. And I find it to be reprehensible, what he did.
Did you see The Departed?
With Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I saw that. It was a wonderful film. Wonderful film. I enjoyed it immensely.
You liked The Departed. What did you like about it?
Well, I thought the characters were interesting. I thought that the character Jack Nicholson was playing that guy, Kellogg, or whatever the name was. I thought he was...
What was his name in The Departed?
Jack Nicholson.
No, the character that he played.
What was the name of the character that he played?
Father, this is General Galen Shaw, sir.
Yes, General, how are you?
I'm fine. You're aware that The Departed was about Whitey Bulger. You're aware of that, aren't you?
I'm sorry, say it again.
The movie The Departed was about Whitey Bulger.
The movie The Departed was about Whitey Bulger, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be boot.
All right, dump that, please.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm awfully sorry.
Yeah, we can't use that language. What you said was that's got to be bullcrap?
Well, yeah, it's got to be bull. You're not trying to tell me.
Well, yes. It sounded to me, Father, like you weren't aware of that, and I thought I'd tell you that yes.
The Departed is one of the finest films I've ever seen, with Jack Nicholson and the young man there, Leonardo DiCaprio, and the other young man, Matt, what's his name?
Damon.
Matt Damon. And
well, that movie, just as the general said, is about Whitey Bulger. Jack Nicholson's character plays a Whitey Bulger type character.
No, you're full of...
Okay, dump it again. What are you trying to... You know what, Father, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're a...
Wow.
That language coming out of here, I can't believe it.
Well, what is it with him, man? He's really disgusted with Whitey Bulger on the one hand, but hey, you know what? That Jack Nicholson.
Well, it could be he's just starstruck or something. That a lot of people. I was very starstruck for the longest time. I got into the Army on the heels of seeing a movie called Attack with Jack Palance, and I decided that I would join the United States Army as a result of seeing that film. And then I realized that you really can't have a tank run over your arm and live.
Well, Jack Palance didn't live.
Well, he did long enough to try and shoot the other guy. You see what I'm saying?
Did you join the Army to see if a tank could run over your arm?
Wait, hold on, General. This is ridiculous. You know...
Wait, I'm talking to Mr. Henry now.
Yes, but you're talking nonsense.
What? Excuse me, but I got into the United States Army because I saw Jack Palance in Attack and a tank ran over his arm.
Yeah, but so a tank ran over his arm, and he lived?
He certainly did live, and he went and he blew away this one guy that was giving him a hard time or something, I don't know. So I decided I'd join the Army because they made tough guys, you see?
Yeah, guys that could have a tank run over their arm.
Yes.
And when were you disabused of the idea that you could not have a tank run over your arm and stay in the Army, at least, even if you lived?
Well, I wasn't sure that was the case. I was very much convinced that I could have a tank run over my arm and still stand because you're Army tough. Do you understand what that means now, finally?
Wow.
Yeah, I've got to...
Go get another Bartles and Janes.
Yeah, I've got to get another wine cooler.
Yeah, that's the really good... Thanks, bud.
Well,
I'm telling you, you've got to get him out of here, or I will. Either you move him out, or I'll pick him up, and I'll throw him into the street.
Margaret.
No.
All right, Father McCorders, is he back?
Are you Father McCorders? You can't say any dirty words. You can't say a dirty word, though. Yeah, you can't say that, and you can't, well, I can't, we're on a year right now.
Hey, Father, it's Phil Hendry.
Phil, I apologize immensely. I'm so very sorry. I had no idea that the film Departed was about Whitey Bulger. I feel that the film Departed was a very entertaining film. I liked the movie. And now you're trying to tell me that the character played by Jack Nicholson was Whitey Bulger. To me, that soils and pollutes and stains my very vision of that film.
Well, certainly you saw the antics of the individuals in that film, the characters in that film. They were not nice guys. They were not likable guys.
Well, they were not likable guys, but you've got this man of this band is squealing to the FBI. I thought the whole thing was a big joke, you know?
No, Whitey Bulger was an FBI informant. They based that on his life.
Well, then he's not such a bad guy, is he? You know?
Yes, he was. You got to read the story, because Whitey Bulger was an FBI informant. So that meant that he was giving information to the FBI, and the FBI in turn allowed him a certain leeway, a certain latitude with his criminal activity. So it was,
it was like what they call a quid pro quo.
Yeah, like a quid pro quo.
What's that mean?
Who said that?
I did.
Oh, you. Well, a quid pro quo means Latin, and it means for a quid, well,
for a quid, you're pro quo.
No, it means if you do for me, I do for you.
Well, that's got to be...
Okay, he just did it again. You know...
Yeah, but... Oh, he hung up.
No, you hung up on him.
Yeah.
When we dump them, it automatically dumps the phone line out. Quid pro quo, Father, if you're listening, means it what I just said it means. It's, you know, you do for me, I do for you. And because you don't agree with it, or because it doesn't resonate as... You okay?
Yes, I'm doing much better now because I've got the Bartles and James and I've got my vanilla wafers. And I will sit here and I can absorb any crap you want to give me and I'll be fine. But I'm telling you, Phil...
Look, you don't tell me anything, General. What I'm trying to tell you is that if you are going to tell a story about wanting to have a tank run over your arm, we have to have a little, you know, give and take on that, too, because no one is going to believe... They're going to think you're nuts. Okay?
So I'm nuts that I wanted to fight for my country.
No, you're not nuts because you want to fight for your country. You're nuts because you wanted to have a tank run over your arm.
Because I wanted to be tough?
That's not tough. That's nuts. That's nuts. And it was a movie.
I know it was a movie, for God's sake, because I was a kid when I saw the movie. And I'm trying to tell you that the film that I saw...
Movies are not real. Just like, you know, I'm trying to get to your Father McCorders online. Is he back?
Yeah.
Father McCorders believes that Whitey Bulger is a piece of crap, but boy, that movie, The Departed, was fantastic.
Well, McCorders has always been a little squirrely. I think he's backed up, and we won't go there, but you know...
Oh, boy. All right, Father McCorders...
I'd love to tell that soldier there, soldier boy, I think he's backed up, okay?
I didn't mean anything by that, Father, but you know... You know full well...
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Backed up. You know something, my friend? If you think I'm so backed up, why don't you take a drive over here and help me out with that, okay? Because I think...
All right. Thank you very, very much, Father James McCorders.
You see, that's what I'm talking about.
No, if you provoke that... Man.
Well, how's the Bartles and James?
Very good. I love the Bartles and James, and the vanilla wafers are exactly as... I expected them to be.
Out of a box.
Yes.
Well.
Robert, you're kind of quiet tonight.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to make it to the end of the show, man. I don't know if you're going to make it to the end of this show. I really don't.
Well, you know what? I'm going to prove that I can. Not prove you wrong. I'm just going to prove that I can. All right, so anyway, Whitey Bulger, 84 years of age. The guy's going inside for the rest of his life. The judge, by the way, in the case... District Court Judge Denise J. Jasper recited one by one the names of the people that Bulger had murdered. She said, "The scope, the callousness, the depravity of your crimes are almost unfathomable," she said in the stillness of the courtroom filled with teary-eyed. You know, I will say one thing about The Departed. the movie that Father McQuarters thinks is so great. That movie showed the character that Jack Nicholson created for that, or the character that he was mirroring, was a really odious guy. I mean, he was not a likable guy. He was a violent, vicious, dirty, nasty guy. And there wasn't anything about him to like.
Well,
what was about him? What did you like about him?
He gave Mark Wahlberg crap.
Oh, he gave Mark. So in any event, folks, if you doubt us, go see the movie or rent it or get it on Netflix or say you did and you didn't. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be back here with Doug Danger because we're going to put him to work doing something, man. I don't know what, but I am not not carrying this load by myself tonight. Sorry. World famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com. That jumped right out, and anybody that's bleeding from the ears as a result of that.
What?
Can't even hear me now, can you?
What?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
All right, easy, okay?
You know what I'm saying? Every time you try to tell everybody, say, take it easy.
You got to find another way of calming things down.
Well, what's a better phrase than saying take it easy? Now, that's why we have to get Elaine in here and get that limiter. That's just a technical note here, folks.
What is a limiter?
Never mind, General. It's something that will limit the modulation, because that was just way... I don't know what happened.
Well, what happened was you didn't test the volume. You usually test the volume. And I've seen you do that.
Yeah, what about test the volume?
I guess I didn't test the volume.
Well, you have to, you know, in the military, you're looking at me like I'm a pain in the ass all of it. Never mind.
No, I'm just... Go ahead.
You know, I've got other things I can do. You know, I've got some friends at home, and we do a little bit of collecting. I don't want to tell you what. But they're right now at my house, and...
What do you collect?
I said I don't want to tell you what.
Are they weapons? Are they war?
They may be.
All right. Well, in any event, General, if you want to go home and talk to those guys...
No, but, you know, what you're doing here tonight on the program, making me bleed from the ears... Because that was so loud, and now you're talking about... I'm learning about limiters and things.
Yeah, okay. So...
All right, well, you can blow me off if you want.
But just more vanilla wafer.
Where, are there any more?
Get him some vanilla wafers, will you? Woman guilty of stalking Alec Baldwin. I saw this, Margaret. I just wanted to quote one more thing here from the Whitey Bulger story, and then we'll move on. The judge in the case was referencing the Boston Marathon and the bombings. And this was Judge Casper. She said, the year 2013, with all that's happened in the city of Boston, both tragic and triumphant, you and the horrible things that were recounted by your cohorts during the course of this trial do not and should not represent this city. She said she couldn't begin. She didn't know where to begin in discussing Bulger's crimes, and that she had struggled with what would ever be just punishment for the unfathomable harm that you've caused. And then he just was led off in handcuffs, and that was that.
Yeah, he didn't care either, too.
No, he didn't. I mean, but that's... I guess, isn't that the tough guy code?
Yeah, you can't cry or anything.
Well, the tough guy code. I wonder how tough they are when they're by themselves in their cells and they realize that they're never going to get out and never feel the love of a woman or the gentle touch...
Of a boy.
Of a boy. What do you...
Hey!
Watch it.
Why does he degrade me that way?
Well, I mean, but Whitey Bulger... This is why I was saying what I was saying, you know. The cachet that some of these guys have, even in prison, isn't he going to get conjugal visits, stuff like that, General?
What are you looking? Why would I know the answer to a question like that, boy? You take a few liberties with me, Phil.
I'm just wondering if you've heard.
I guess the man would get conjugal visits. If I were him, I would demand them. Otherwise, you know, I imagine he can cause quite a few problems. Because a guy like Whitey Bulger is going to get his conjugal visits whether you like it or not. Someone's going to be the female.
Okay, anyway, good luck there, Whitey. You're going to need it, I guess. If nothing else, he's never getting out, and that's the end of that. One of the things that I think ought to happen, though, and I mean this, The romance around the gangster that we have created in this country, and that is fun, and it makes for a fun movie, and it makes for fun reading, but the romance around the gangster, it needs to include some of the graphic graphic details of what these men have done, and not even the violence, but how much it costs the average citizen. You know, if you're a working class guy or a woman or whoever, and you are just making ends meet, and you see that the price of something is going up, or the cost of something that you desperately need is becoming prohibitive, you have to ask yourself, if there's an organized crime problem in your city, how much of that price increase is the result of the influence that these crime families have? Stealing and controlling unions, sending people out on strike when they really don't need to because you want to extort more money. I mean, the influence of organized crime on the average everyday person is something like that. I like movies with gangsters in them just as much as the next guy. You know, what are you sitting there with your mouth open, bud?
I never heard it put like this.
Yeah, that's pretty intelligent.
Well, maybe you ought to listen, because for the first time, every now and again, Mr. Henry makes some sense. I'm not saying always.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
But,
Phil, you're making a lot of sense there.
You're talking with your mouth full of vanilla wafer because it just spit all over me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, the romance around the gangster is, as I said, it's something that's all-American, and we like it. It's fun. I like watching The Godfather as much as anybody, and I like watching all those gangster movies. But the fact is, the reality of it is it's expensive. It's violent. It takes people's lives. It takes people's living. It turns honest people into chumps and patsies, and God knows what it costs in terms of law enforcement. So here's a guy. This judge, I think, was trying to make her point that way. If she did, I don't know. One of the things, like when you were talking about meeting John Gotti.
Yeah, I met John Gotti. He was I thought he was a wonderful man. He was very cordial, and he said, "General, you're looking good." I said, "Well, John, you look no worse for the wear," and I thought it was a marvelous opportunity.
Okay, did you like it when he got off? He got acquitted on a lot of those charges early on in the 90s. Charges of a variety of serious felonies, and then he goes home and he has a big fireworks display.
Well, I mean, the man's, isn't he entitled to have? Are you kidding? You're telling me the guy doesn't get to light a sparkler? Wow.
Well, it isn't a sparkler. He had a fireworks display, right?
Yeah, he was shooting off fireworks and food, and he was being a nice, he was being a good neighbor. But don't you think that was a little in your face?
Well, I don't know. You're telling me that a man hasn't got the right on a 4th of July to go home, and after going through what he just went through with law enforcement, to sit down, open up a can of beer, and light a lousy sparkler?
General.
Oh, I just...
What are you crying for?
I'm not crying.
General, he did more than light a sparkler. He had a fireworks display.
I don't know anything about that. All I know is you begrudge a man crawling into the house at night, sweating and tired, drinking a beer and lighting a gay-ass sparkler.
No, that's not what he did.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about a big fireworks display.
General Shaw, John Gotti can afford a lot more than one, as you put it, gay-ass sparkler.
Well, I don't know anything about that. All I know is that he should not be begrudged these things.
Well, he's dead now.
What's that?
He's dead.
Oh, my God.
Are you nuts or something, man? He died a long time ago.
I hadn't heard. I'm just now getting the news. Well, what are you laughing at?
John Gotti has been dead many years, and you didn't know that.
I'm just now getting the news.
Yeah, well, I can print off some stuff on the internet here, gentlemen. You can read up on it.
Yeah, I would appreciate that, Robert, because I had no idea. Well, there you go. You don't live forever, do you?
No, you don't. No. You sure don't. Yeah, John Gotti died in prison.
Oh, okay. Well, what's that? You know, Phil, you got to move on with your life. I thought
You might have him confused with somebody else, man. You know, some guy drinking a can of beer and lighting a sparkler and, you know...
Well, that's who I thought John Gotti was. Now you're telling me a whole... You're giving me a whole fairy tale, and I...
No, that you must be thinking of someone else, General, because John Gotti had big fireworks displays...
And he didn't sit lonely with a sparkler.
No, he did not. You think the head of a mafia family is going to sit lonely with a sparkler?
I don't know how they live.
All right.
By the way, that was Frank Sinatra, so watch how you...
Yeah, Frank Sinatra's on the military. That's fantastic, man. I don't have to watch how I talk. All right, Margaret, you have an interesting story that we're going to get to here. Alec Baldwin was stalked by a woman from Quebec, and this is going to give you the opportunity to...
Well, I'll be able to work my French accent out a little bit here without taking all kinds of grief. Excuse me for just one moment.
God, Dan! Just cut it out!
Oh, Bud, don't stutter. It sounds as if you... It sounds as if you need remedial teaching. Yes, I do have the story.
All right, Margaret Gray will be talking about Alec Baldwin's stalker, a woman a native of Quebec, Canada, and all of the French accent that will entail, as well as the story of Alec Baldwin being stalked. And then that probably is going to explain a couple of other things that have occurred, like, for instance, Mr. Baldwin almost beating the crap out of the paparazzi because these guys wouldn't leave him alone or his family alone. And it looked like he wanted to go pound the crap out of that one guy, you know?
I think he should have.
World famous Phil Henry Show on philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. I thought we were going to talk a little bit here about this woman stalking Alec Baldwin, right?
Yes.
Why is Chris Norton on the phone?
He's going to talk. Chris Norton's going to be on next hour.
Oh, Chris Norton is on next hour. Chris Norton, who is an adult film producer, also a telemarketer of pharmaceutical products from Redondo Beach, California. I know that sounds like the collision of two wildly divergent worlds.
Well, that was... he's a what?
He's hold on, General, if I could just...
Yeah.
Chris Norton will be on next hour.
You interrupted me for that.
Yes.
Well, I...
Don't be like Margaret. You know, what did you want to say?
I wanted to say, you're kidding me, the guy is a pharmaceutical salesman and a porn producer, and that's all I wanted to say.
All right, so,
Wow.
Yeah, he's like that, General.
No, I'm not like anything. I'm just trying to finish what I'm saying around here.
Yeah, General... He's a general.
Yeah, thank you very much. I am a general. And as a general, generally, did you get that one?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was good.
It was very good, General.
As a general, I generally am and conversant in general topics. See?
That's great. That's very funny.
No, you don't think it's funny. You're a lying set.
In any event...
Yeah.
Okay, so Margaret, tell me all about this woman that was stalking Alec Baldwin, please, before I lose my mind.
Well, Phil, don't blame the general. He was talking in general terms. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're just breaking your castanets, Henry. Why don't you lighten up? God!
Yeah, lighten up.
Yeah, Phil, it's okay.
Oh, thank you very much for telling me it's okay. I'm just trying to move the show along, all right?
Well, you're moving it along, Phil. You can move something along and push it off a cliff. Is that the kind of moving along?
Yeah, that's what Phil wants to do. He wants to move it along and push it right onto a railroad track with a train coming. Let's move it along and then park it on the... Is that a thing you want to do? That's what a friend of mine did once.
A friend of yours did what?
A friend of mine said, let's move this along, and he got the car started. After the car had been, it had a busted starter, they got it started, and he moved it about 3 feet forward right onto a railroad track, just as the super chief was coming through to Alpine, Texas. And did you ever see the film Courage Under Fire, when the Lou Diamond Phillips, there was nothing left of him as he was being shoved along the track on fire?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
What's funny about that?
I don't know. You're telling me that a friend of yours said, let's move it along.
Yes.
He parked on a railroad track. The super chief on its way to Alpine, Texas, hit him.
You better believe it. And at the rate that train was traveling, I think he was late. I think he was probably about 20 minutes late getting into Alpine.
Yeah, well...
You know, I think it is absolutely unconscionable.
Phil, what are you laughing at?
Oh, you guys got to be kidding me. He was late getting into Alpine. You better believe he was late getting into Alpine, especially if he was pushing your friend's car along the track like Lou Diamond Phillips in Courage Under Fire.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Somebody finally gives me a little bit of credit here tonight.
Well, it is a good point.
Okay, so don't give me this thing about how, way, Phil, why don't you lighten up?
Well, but it is funny, too.
Yeah, oh, sure. This is a guy you knew, huh?
Well, I knew him as long as he was... I got a ride with him in the car. That's how well I knew him. I knew him for about 5 minutes.
And you weren't in the car?
No, I stepped out to have a cigarette because he didn't allow smoking in his car, obviously, even though it was a convertible.
The top was down?
Yes.
But he told you to get out of the car?
Yes.
Well, I guess he would, because...
Well, the ash can get in the seats.
All right. Here is Margaret now. Now, this is a story, Margaret, about Alec Baldwin and...
Well, there is a woman that has been found guilty. Hi, everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and this is the Margaret Gray Minute. This will take longer than a minute, though. I want you to know that.
I understand that.
But it's called the Margaret Gray Minute.
Yeah, why do you call it that?
Because I want to call it the Margaret Gray Minute.
All right.
Woman guilty of stalking Alec Baldwin gets 6-month term.
Yeah, it's going to take longer than a minute.
I'm going to...
Hey, okay, watch it, okay?
Now kick his ass.
I can understand, but why don't you just be quiet, okay? And let her finish what it is she's trying to say.
Yeah, but she said it's a Margaret Gray Minute.
Why do you call it a Margaret Gray Minute when it's going to obviously take forever? It'll take until... Phil doesn't have enough time in his show.
I'm going to do this story the way I'm going to do the story. Anybody here doesn't like it? Step right up to the plate. You.
No.
Not me.
All right. After a week of courtroom drama featuring a star turn from Alec Baldwin and tearful histrionics from a woman accused of stalking him, it was a judge who had the last and defining word on Thursday, guilty on all charges. Judge Robert Mandelbaum said that the woman, Genevieve Zolin, had demonstrated a complete lack of respect for the legal system and had waged a relentless and escalating campaign to annoy and harass Mr. Baldwin and his wife. The rules of civil society apply to you as to everyone else, he said. He sentenced her to 6 months in jail, the maximum allowed, on top of a month he gave her earlier this week for contempt of court. Now, Ms. Seron...
How do we know we're pronouncing... I'm sorry, but how do you know you're pronouncing the name right?
It's French.
Yeah, it's French, so...
Excuse me, I'm not talking to you. It's French, Phil.
All right, it's S-A-B-O-U-R-I-N.
Yes, you can be liberal in the accent. It's Sabolin or Sabou.
What is it again?
Sabou.
Well, that sounds like a lot of monkey talking.
I beg your pardon?
The way you're saying the French accent, and I trained with the French Foreign Legion for about a year. I was with the French Foreign Legion in North Africa and trained with them rigorously and listened every day to that French speak. And you think I liked it? The answer to that question is no, I did not. But I knew I was with men, not a bunch of egg-sucking, chicken-stealing gutter trash.
That's what we are?
That's the way I'm feeling about it, yes. And those men, even though they spoke French, were men.
Well, I'm sorry I wasn't with the French Foreign Legion.
And I'm telling you that your accent sounds like a lot of monkey shine. Don't you laugh at me.
No, it's funny.
All right, take it easy.
Yeah, just say take it easy, Jim.
Don't say take it easy anymore, Phil, because I'm really going to come unglued.
All right, I'm sorry. Everybody calm down. How about that? All right, go ahead, Ms. Sabourin.
Wait a minute. She said Sarou or some Sabu. She said some... The name she gave the woman sounds Indian, and I don't mean American. I mean it sounds subcontinent Indian.
I didn't give her an Indian name.
Well, then what...
General, you're going to have to just let her do what she wants to do.
Fine.
Miss Sabu, Miss Sabu, a frog French...
What's wrong?
There's too many F's. Miss Sabu, and when there's an F, I want to say...
You want to say frog?
No, I don't. I have respect for the French, but being on this show has caused me... It's warped my perspective.
Now, you can't blame Mr. Henry for that.
Well, that's what I'm doing. You got a problem with that, Robert?
No, ma'am.
Miss Sabu, a freelance film publicist and actress from Quebec... who said she had a tryst with Mr. Baldwin 3 years ago, was unrepentant when the judge asked if she had anything to say before sentencing. I haven't done anything wrong, she said. That's what I have to say. You are doing a mistake right now, which is exactly what I said to Jason J. Delmonico when he missed his little potty when he was young. You know?
Oh, Jesus.
You know, Phil?
Yeah, okay.
You're doing a mistake, Jason J. Delmonico. And he went, oh, God, help me.
He said that?
Yes, it was cute. So, let's see. Still, the judge took only 5 minutes before deciding Miss Sabouong was guilty of several misdemeanors. That's a bunch of crap.
All right, so she's going to jail, and you're doing a mistake now, huh?
Yes, that was her stupid... See, you think I've got nothing but sympathy for the French. I don't. When they sound stupid, I love to point it out, just as I love to point out how dumb you sound sometimes, Phil, so...
Yeah, great. All right, so we're going to be back next hour with more news, a visit from Chris Norton. Chris Norton, the adult filmmaker, as well as the pharmaceutical salesman. And we'll find out what is new on the horizon for Chris Norton. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bud Dickman on the piano right now. I'm kidding. We'll be right back.